Cardiovascular Health. A report released yesterday by the American Heart Association shows that nearly half of all adults in the U.S. have some kind of cardiovascular condition. 48% either have high blood pressure, heart disease, or are living with the after effects of a stroke. 1 in 4 American women will die of heart disease. Experts say there are plenty of steps people can take to reduce their risk of heart disease, and that even small changes can have a significant impact. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we'll learn how heart disease affects the body and get advice about ways to improve one's heart health. Have you succeeded in lowering your own blood pressure? Do you even know whether you're at risk? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The statistics about heart disease are frightening, and for many, thinking about doing something to lead a heart-healthier life is intimidating. Today, we're going to learn about steps you can take to protect your heart. Joining me in the studio, Kate Foley, a certified personal trainer and the fitness manager for Ocean View at Falmouth Retirement Community. Kimberly Martins, senior clinical exercise physiologist at Turning Point Cardiac Rehab at Maine Medical Center, and Brenda Vitale, the communications director with the American Heart Association. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you doing anything to keep your heart healthy? Are you thinking that with this new year, this new month, you're going to start now? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you all for being here today. And Brent, I want to start with you because the American Heart Association has a brand new report just out yesterday, national news today. Tell us what it tells us. It's a little scary.
It is startling. Basically, the report that we released said that nearly half of Americans have some form of heart or blood vessel disease. So that's pretty significant when you think about our population and people having, you know, heart attack, heart failure, stroke, and high blood pressure is included. And we did update our, I know you had us on the show last year, we did update our blood pressure guidelines. So more people now technically have high blood pressure than before. And that has caused some of that, you know, number to increase of people that have heart and blood vessel disease.
Sure. So to have high blood pressure, to be considered someone with high blood pressure, it used to be 140 over 90 and is now 130 over 80.
Yeah. So even a little rise in blood pressure, we've seen people have complications from that. What we used to call pre-hypertension really doesn't exist anymore. You either have high blood pressure or you don't. That doesn't mean you need to jump on medication right away. It means you need to modify your lifestyle and then work with your doctor to see what you need to do.
So, Kimberly, I know that a majority of this 48% of Americans who have some sort of heart or cardiovascular disease, a majority of them it's high blood pressure is the thing, 90%, I believe. Can you explain to us what physiologically high blood pressure is in your body?
Yeah, high blood pressure is where we check your blood pressure. We're actually looking at the pressure within your arteries. And we don't like to see that number high because that puts an extra strain on your artery walls, and that's where we can see some damage occur.
So why is there the strain on the arteries? Is it because the arteries are shrinking in size?
Well, if you are inactive, you can actually have stiffened arteries, and that actually puts more pressure and on the heart. So the heart actually has to work harder to push the blood through those arteries. And so with physical activity, we can actually make those arteries more elastic and stretchy so they can dilate to actually allow more blood to go towards the working muscles.
So Kate, how does that work? How does exercising make your arteries stretchier?
Well, the more work you ask your heart to do, the higher your heart rate you can get up while you're exercising. It's just working like any other muscle. So it's helping you to change what you are at for homeostasis to help build up your heart muscle, just like you build up all your other muscles. And it'll just overall help all of your systems. After exercise, you actually have a lower blood pressure than before you started. So it's going to help with hypertension. It's going to help overall with everything.
So even one session of exercise, if you take your blood pressure before it, you exercise, you wait a little while and take it afterwards, your blood pressure will be lower after one session.
Yes.
Wow. Brenda, who's at risk? Who's at risk of high blood pressure and other heart disease?
Well, really, everyone is. I think stress is another major risk factor for developing high blood pressure and high sodium. We have, you know, we go to the grocery store. If you're shopping in those center aisles, you're getting a lot of sodium from those processed food, restaurant food. So really, everyone needs to be, you know, thinking about how they can reduce sodium really by eating more fresh foods is the best way to do that. So, you know, men, women are at risk. Today's National Wear Red Day. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for women. Even young kids, though, again, getting that sodium in their diet at a young age, they're already starting to develop these conditions at an earlier age.
It's surprising, isn't it, when you go through the grocery store and you start looking at labels, some things you expect to be high in sodium. You expect soy sauce to be high in sodium. You know, maybe frozen pizza to be high in sodium. But there are a lot of things out there that you wouldn't expect that actually are.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of times it's used as a preservative and it's kind of hidden in the ingredients, but it's really important to check the labels, get educated about, you know, watching those things in your everyday life.
All right, Kate, back to you. We're scared now. We don't want to have high blood pressure. We don't want to have heart disease. But boy, it's kind of intimidating to start something up. What's your advice for a little change someone can make today or this weekend or next week and how to build on that change?
Yeah, it is a daunting subject. Oh my gosh, this is a big thing. I need to make my heart health better. But there are little things that we can do. You can call a first degree relative, a parent, a sibling, or children, and find out what their heart health status is, and maybe see if there's a trend, if anybody has had anything else go on. And that gives you a better family history profile that you can talk to your doctor about. A really great thing that's come about is a lot of major medical providers have a patient online portal, and you can look up what your most recent numbers were. You can find out your most recent blood pressure, your most recent cholesterol, your most recent glucose reading on any lab work that you may have had done. And see, well, are these within the normal range or is this something I should bring up to my doctor? You can go for a walk. Maybe not today because it's so darn cold out, but you can go for a walk and get a little bit of exercise, get moving. And something else you could do, especially over the weekend, a lot of people go to local grocery stores or pharmacies, get your blood pressure checked in one of those machines. If you don't know what it is, get a baseline and just see what it looks like.
Are those accurate?
I think they're moderately accurate. If you were to get some crazy reading and you're having symptoms, lightheadedness, dizziness, anything like that, you should definitely talk to your doctor about that. But see what trends look like. So maybe check it once a week there, or if you talk to your doctor and it does come up a little bit higher, they might suggest checking it on your own with your own machine.
Brenda, you wanted to jump in.
I agree. It is a lot to think about, but the great news is that 80% of cardiovascular disease is preventable. A lot of the things Kate's talking about, you know, watching your diet, getting knowing your numbers is so important. Just getting that little bit of, you know, 10-minute spurts of exercise can really make a big difference in lowering your risk factors. So just baby steps.
Kimberly, I want to bring you into the conversation in relation to something that Kate just said. She said, maybe don't go on a walk today because it's so darn cold. I mean, we're having this conversation in February in Maine, and sometimes that's kind of a hard time to set up a resolution to exercise. So many people in Maine live in a place that's really pedestrian friendly. It's sort of ironic. We live in this beautiful state with woods and snowmobile trails, and if you live on a rural route where trucks are going 50 miles an hour and there's ice on the road, it's not a good place to exercise.
Yeah, definitely not. I live in one of those areas. Sometimes I risk it and go for a run, but I definitely don't suggest that. And we do live in a rural area, but we have a lot of great community resources and even some resources that are kind of unexpected. And you can even look towards the main mall. We have a lot of patients that actually walk at the main mall in the morning before the stores open because that can actually become a pricey endeavor. But in the morning, a lot of people are walking. It's warm in there. If everything goes to plan, it won't snow in there. There are benches to rest, and there's actually people around where if heaven forbid anything happens to you, there are people around. So you don't have to go for a walk by yourself. And even there are community resources where you could exercise in the local high school, and also in South Portland Community Center, I know, has an indoor walking track as well. So it doesn't have to be anything pricey. You know, going to the main mall is free. So definitely looking to what's close to home.
Another great resource, too, is if it's one of those really stormy or really cold days, you don't want to leave home at all, there's so much information out on the internet on exercises that you can do and what do you trust. You can actually go to Ocean View at Falmouth's website, and we have a part that's called Moves You Can Use, which have been created by our certified personal trainers. They're all light strength training exercises, things that you can do at home on your own. Just listen to your body and see how you feel.
It's interesting you say strength training, because I think a lot of people think that for cardiovascular health, I need to do something aerobic. I need to walk. I need to run. I need to ride my bike. I need to dance. Is that not the case?
It's everything in combination. So on the nice days or on the not so good days when you can get in a walk, maybe go to the main mall, or if you can go outside and walk, great, go do it. But if it's a day when you think, I don't want to go outside, it's not safe for me to go outside, you can do some strength training. The current recommendations from the ACSM is to get 150 to 300 minutes of aerobic exercise, to also add in a couple days of strength training and a day or two of flexibility training. So it's a little bit of everything. Most important thing to remember for anybody listening is just move. Go and do something and just keep your body active.
Does one need to be short of breath? Does one need to sweat? I mean, what counts?
What we like to use in the fitness world, and I think Kim would agree with me on this one, in the cardiac rehab world, is a rate of perceived exertion. And so it's a scale. It's a numbered scale. You could think of a 1 through 10 scale. Scientifically, we think of a 6 through 20 scale. But what we would want people to aim for is an exertion level that you could still have a conversation with somebody. You're not so out of breath that you're only getting out a couple words, but you don't have so much air that you feel so comfortable that you could sing. So at a conversation.
Talk but not sing.
Talk but not sing.
Okay, but maybe chant, like we think of military drills in there.
maybe just easy conversation.
Kimberly, I know that for some people, the challenge is less, where am I going to exercise, that how am I get my head around a new lifestyle? What kind of challenges do you face with some of the patients you see?
Yeah, definitely. After a heart event, it can be very daunting, even trusting your own body again. Are you safe to exercise? Are you safe to climb up the stairs at home? So we see that a lot. And we at our facility really focus on making sure that you're comfortable doing things outside of Turning Point. Where can you exercise outside, and what are you doing at home? So actually what we like to see, and it's, I could talk about how exercising makes you feel better, more comfortable with yourself, but what I see is that patients are talking amongst themselves, and patients are talking about the event that they just went through, and a lot of them have those things in common where they can relate to each other, and actually we see patients feel much better about the situation that they're in. Coming to cardiac rehab, I know that not everybody out there is saying, oh, I hope one day I can go to cardiac rehab. But once they're there in that situation, and being around people that went through a similar thing, they feel more at ease. And we definitely hope that people feel that way once they leave our facility.
Brenda, we started this program talking about the American Heart Association's new report that shows 48% of Americans with some form of cardiovascular disease, 48% with some form of cardiovascular disease. How does Maine fit into that picture? Are we about average, higher, lower?
We're about average. Heart disease, or I should say cardiovascular disease, which includes heart disease and stroke, is tied with cancer as the number one killer in Maine. So most states, heart disease is number one. We're kind of tied with cancer. It's something no one wants to be number one in.
Sure.
But this study was done nationally. So in terms of local numbers, that would have to be through the Maine CDC. But we're, you know, pretty much about 25% of deaths in Maine are from heart disease. So that's pretty common throughout the country.
We've talked about high blood pressure pretty much up to this point, but I want to ask about the warning signs for a heart attack. Kate, what do people need to know?
Listen to your body. It's the number one thing. Most people think of a heart attack as chest pain,
but as we're talking about heart disease and also specific to women, it can be a number of different symptoms. So if you do not feel right, if something feels wrong going on in your body, you should reach out to a medical provider. But other symptoms that are fairly common that people don't think about, a dull angina, so a dull kind of ache in the chest, pain in the back, jaw, throat, upper abdomen, shoulders. I've heard of people having lower arm and wrist pain or nausea. I've heard of plenty of women feeling like they had a flu and it actually turned out to be a heart event. So listen to your body and see what you're feeling, and if you go with your gut instinct, if this is something that you need to get it checked out sooner rather than later.
But some of these things, back pain, nausea, could be so many things. When do you know it's time to call 911 and not just sort of think, oh, I don't feel well?
I would listen to your gut, see how you feel, and if it's something that just seems unusual, start off at the lower level of care. If you're able to get to a walk-in clinic, go see them, and they're going to evaluate you for the heart things right away, and they're going to escalate and send you to an ER if needed right away. So just don't put it off.
And we've heard, just made me think of a survivor that we heard speak earlier today at Portland City Hall. She thought that her arm hurt because she had been Black Friday shopping with her daughter. And luckily, her husband actually was the one that pushed her and said, you got to get checked out. And she ended up having already had a heart attack, which wasn't detected initially through an EKG, which sometimes happens with women. It was detected through a blood test for the enzyme that you see when you have a heart attack. She then went on to have a second heart attack the next day. If her husband hadn't pushed her, she probably wouldn't have survived. So I think it's important, you know, don't write it off as something else. Get it checked out. Even if you're embarrassed and it's nothing, it's always better to err on the side of safety.
Yep.
I read this morning that most heart attacks for women, no prior symptoms.
That is very common, no prior symptoms. About 64% of women had no prior symptoms, so it's really hard. And you know, things like blood pressure, we call that the silent killer. So it's really important to know your numbers because you may not know you're at risk. You really can't feel when you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol. You have to get it checked out, and you've got to go to your annual physical, start with that, and then if you do have symptoms, like Kate said, that just don't feel right to you or normal to you, go get it checked out.
And isn't one of the issues is that women, for women, the symptoms can be so much more diverse than that for men. They actually are pretty predictable.
They are. Yeah, most men really describe that crushing chest pain. There's an elephant on my chest. But again, listen to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, you're having an odd symptom, worst thing that's going to happen is you get it checked out at a first care and they're going to say that you're fine and it's not no issue. But it's better that you got it checked out.
Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Ocean View at Falmouth, an active retirement living campus proudly supporting Saturday Afternoon Opera, oceanviewrc.com, and Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine Energy Audit and Insulation Rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
Homeownership is still out of reach for some young people, and student loan debt is partly to blame.
It seems like there's like a debt spiral or something. When you get into a little bit of it, it just feeds back in on itself. And for us, that started with student loans.
I'm Ari Shapiro. Is the American dream being delayed or derailed? That's this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can listen to All Things Considered at 4 here on Maine Public Radio.
Hi, this is David Green from NPR. The stories you hear on Maine Public Radio help you grow more informed, more inspired, and also more involved. You grow with Maine Public Radio and with NPR, and we grow with your support. Let's grow together. Here's how to make your donation now.
Super Thursday is coming up on February 7th, but you can contribute right now at mainepublic.org or by calling 1-800-866-1475.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, leading a lifestyle that is healthy for your heart. Joining me in the studio, Kimberly Martins, the senior clinical exercise physiologist at Turning Point Cardiac Rehab at Maine Medical Center. Caitlin Foley, a certified personal trainer and the fitness manager for Ocean View at Falmouth Retirement Community. And Brenda Vitale, a communications director with the American Heart Association. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're going to go to a Facebook post from Nora. She writes, "The stress of living as a serf is hard. Mm-hmm. Diet is hard to maintain since so many of us have no idea how to cook nor have time with several part-time jobs. I would look to stress as a high cause of heart problems." Is she right?
Definitely. Stress is something that we identify as a modifiable risk factor for heart disease and something we address at Turning Point. Ways that we incorporate stress management to our exercise routine is after each exercise session, we actually take a moment to guide the patients, take deep breaths, release the tension from the muscles. And stress is something that we all have. It's something that we can't take away from our lives. If you tell me, "Kim, my bills stress me out," I'm not going to tell you, "Hey, then don't open them." It's something you're going to have to face, and we want to be able to give patients a chance to address those stressors without having the negative effects. So definitely, you know, we're multitasking on our phones. We have a lot of life things that we're dealing with at the same time. But we encourage people out there to take a few moments, clear that mind, try to sit in a quiet place. And it does take practice because I ask people all the time, when's the last time you sat and didn't think about anything for 5 minutes? Probably never. So it's definitely something you want to practice, try to incorporate, and schedule some time for that quiet time each day for yourself.
All right. Well, it's something you wanted to talk about, Kate. Kim has given us already one thing we can do, a small daily change, which is just stop, try not to think, and breathe deeply for 5 minutes.
Yep.
What would you add to that? What are some small daily changes that probably even the busiest of us can accomplish?
Yeah, there are so many little things that you can do each day, or spread it out, make it a goal maybe for a week. So just making like mindful food choices. Are you eating enough colors? Are you eating enough variety? Are you maybe incorporating a little bit more seafood into your diet, or eating less salt, like Brenda said earlier? If you're thinking, you know, I do need to make some changes to my diet, the best thing to do is to talk to your doctor and get a referral to a licensed dietitian, a registered dietitian, just like our Facebook poster said. You know, what are ways that I can work on this when things are so busy? So just make a small goal and work on it that way. It would work really well. I was also reading another statistic from that NBC report that came out that losing 5% of your body weight, if appropriate, can make a big difference in your blood pressure and cholesterol numbers. So 5% can be a really small number. As an example, a 200-pound person that's thinking, you know, maybe I should lose a little bit of weight, see if it'll help my blood pressure, that's 10 pounds. It sounds like a big number, 10, but you know what? Just getting out, moving, making little changes will all turn into a big difference.
Brenda, to Nora's point that she works several part-time jobs and doesn't cook well for herself, you talked about not shopping in the middle of the grocery aisle. Are there indeed choices that are not, that don't involve French fries, that don't involve pizza, that people who are super busy can do?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. If you go into any, you know, local, like your local Hannaford, there's so many pre-cut, pre-packaged, but that are healthy options now. When you go into the produce section, you can find a meal practically prepared that might just have, you know, you have to mix in the sauce or something like that. There's lots you can do that's already, you know, pre-made. Make it easy for people to eat healthy.
All right. Well, on the same tack, talking about eating healthy, Gary on Facebook says, "The only thing ever shown to reverse heart disease in the majority of patients is a whole foods plant-based diet. We've known since 1990 that the vast majority of people need never suffer from heart disease. I encourage everyone to consider a whole foods plant-based diet and avoid all that trouble that comes with heart disease." Is he right?
Definitely. I definitely agree with Gary. And our registered dietitian at our facility would agree with him as well. Something that we encourage patients to do is incorporating a plant-based diet. That does not mean vegetarian. It doesn't mean vegan. Just simple, small steps, and making sure you kind of know where your food comes from. And if at the grocery store, the fresh vegetables, not in anything in a can. And with nutrition, if you look out there, there's so much information and it can become very overwhelming. So definitely make it simple. Don't become overwhelmed with the information that's out there.
We'll go to Pat, who's calling from Bristol. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that giving blood to the American Red Cross is always a good thing for them and for you, because then you get free blood pressure checkup and all, and there you go. But you're also doing a great thing.
That's too true, Pat. My grandfather gave blood in part, well, he wanted to give blood, but he also knew that he'd get his blood pressure checked.
There you go. That's just another accurate way that you can have it checked. So bonus for everyone all around.
Thank you, Pat, for your call. We'll go to Julie from Portland. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm 66, and just 2 days ago, I started on high blood pressure meds, lisinopril. My blood pressure has been in like the 155 range for quite a while now. And I've got a lot of stress. Recently had a death that was very close to us, and I have stage 4 cancer. I was wondering if I could come in and participate in one of the heart health programs that you're talking about, even though I haven't had a quote-unquote heart event yet, because I'm having a pretty hard time motivating myself to do the things that you're suggesting.
Definitely. This is Kim. Glad to talk to you. We have many programs, and cardiac rehab facilities have programs similar as well. You may not have had an event or procedure, and I applaud you for trying to avoid that. There are out-of-pocket programs where you can have monitored exercise. Definitely talking to a doctor and seeing if it is appropriate to start an exercise routine is important. Making sure they do the proper screenings, maybe a stress test, and then they may be also aware of different programs that are really close to you. We are located in Scarborough, and we do have certain programs that people are referred to from their doctors.
So, Julie, is your question that can you ask your doctor to refer you to someplace like Turning Point, and will that work even though you haven't had a heart attack? Thank goodness.
Yeah. And are any of these programs covered by Medicare that you know of, or do I have to have a heart attack first?
Unfortunately, typically insurance companies do cover after an event or a procedure is done on the heart. But there are some community programs that are at lower cost that would not be as expensive as the programs that insurance covers.
Okay, good luck to you, Julie, and thanks for calling in today. We have an email from Amy. A tragic cautionary tale from my family. My mother died 17 years ago at age 57 from undiagnosed
arterial sclerosis.
Thank you. I don't know why I can't say that today. She was slim and regularly visited her doctor, and she did not have high blood pressure. No one thought to monitor her for heart disease. She had been vomiting on and off for a while, and she landed in the ER eventually due to sharp pain in the left side of her jaw and down her left arm. No issues detected via the test conducted in the hospital. She was told it was indigestion. She died in her sleep a week later, and the autopsy confirmed heart disease. Awareness in both the medical community and the general populace has greatly increased since 2002, but people still need to be educated. A couple of you are nodding during this story.
Yeah, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear about your mother. We have heard similar stories even recently of women that did not know or were misdiagnosed, unfortunately. I think it's improved in the last 15 years or so since the Go Red for Women campaign began and women became more aware. But again, like Kate was saying, the warning signs can be, you know, things like indigestion only, you know, maybe just shortness of breath, flu-like symptoms. There's some really vague symptoms that women have, and unfortunately, the physician may not know, the woman herself may not think this is heart disease, but the fact that you know, hopefully you can know your numbers and really keep track of your heart health as well as any children or you know, relatives that you have to make sure everybody gets checked.
Would there be a sign if she, you know, her blood pressure was usually at one level, and when she was going through these spells of vomiting, it went up? I mean, is that something that would be something she could say to someone in the ER? Because this is really scary.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's arteriosclerosis. No, I can't say it, which is really the hardening of the arteries and would be more of something around cholesterol. So we talk about, you know, there's plumbing and there's electrical. So plumbing is more of, you know, your blocked arteries, and the electrical is some people just have like an electrical issue that causes their heart to have an abnormal, either a fast or slow beat. So, you know, I think, again, it's important that you have that annual physical, get a baseline of your numbers, and if there are any symptoms that just aren't normal for you, to get it checked out. I'm very sorry to hear that that happened with your mom, and hope that, you know, as more people share their stories of their mothers, aunts, grandmothers unnecessarily dying young, that we can prevent this from happening in the future.
Yeah, again, Amy, sorry to hear about your mother, but at the younger age, the 57 that she passed away at, that's an indication for you, any siblings you may have, children that you may have, to really get your numbers checked annually as well. Now you have a little bit of that family history. It's a good thing to keep up on, and also always listen to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, even if they may have done a test, it may have been at the wrong time that they didn't catch something, go back, have another test done, get it checked out again.
Thank you, Amy, for sharing that, and I'm so sorry for you. We'll go to Pat, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi. I was calling to see if there are if you have any recommendations for treatment after a bypass has failed.
After a bypass has failed, typically going to the doctor, I'm assuming, has been done and treatment has occurred for that. Post-event, we definitely suggest talking to the doctor, making sure it is appropriate to exercise, and evaluating your diet. But cardiac rehab is something definitely that patients have an access to after an event. This is typically a monitored exercise program where there are nurses, cardiologists, and exercise staff members there to guide through that program, which also comes along with education as well. So touching on the nutrition, stress management, what those medications mean, because after something like that, even bypass, a failed bypass, learning what all these new medications mean, what to look out for, is very important.
You know, Pat's calling from Bangor. I'm guessing, because Bangor's a major city in Maine, that there are cardiac rehab facilities there in Bangor. Are there throughout the state, though?
Yeah, most hospitals in Maine have cardiac rehab associated with them. For example, Maine Medical Center right here, we're associated with Maine Medical Center in Scarborough. But patients that are seen at Maine Med, because we're in a rural area, are actually referred to cardiac rehabs that are closer to home. So they don't necessarily have to come down all the way to Maine Med if they're up from north or
so
southern Maine.
So if you had your surgery at Maine Med, but you live in Farmington, there may be something closer to home.
Yeah, and we try our best to get that referral right to something close to home.
Pat, thank you for calling, and good luck to you. We'll go to Bob, who's calling from China, Maine. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. This is a great program. One of the things I wanted to mention, you know, I've had high blood pressure, but through diet particularly, along with the exercise, I've really got it down so that I don't need to take blood pressure medicines. But the one thing I wanted to point out that I think is really important is I've cut as much sugar as I can out of my diet, and sugar and sugary drinks, and all the processed foods, and maybe even some of those safe, I forget what you mentioned earlier about those. You need to look for added sugar, because I think sugar is an unmentioned factor in this. And the whole issue with, they used to talk about low fat as being an issue. Well, that's not really, fat's actually good for us. So I just wanted to make those points and be sure that they're out there, that you need to look closely at the labels.
Bob, I'm so glad you called in. I want to ask you a couple questions, if I can. What did you go from into? What was your blood pressure before, and what is it now?
Actually, I'm trying to remember. It was enough that I actually was tracking it daily with a little blood pressure cuff, and I'm running right now somewhere around 130 over 65. The low number has gone much lower. It used to be up around 80 to 90, and I've really made significant changes. I did a 90-day challenge where I tested everything. I've cut out coffee, which I was a big coffee drinker. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, my goodness.
I know. I was just thinking that. No.
And I cut out wheat out of my diet, and I'm back to weighing. I'm 68 years old. I had my 50th high school reunion, and I'm at my high school weight now. So I've really made a lot of changes, and I've been able to, so far, avoid having to take regular meds.
Okay, so I know Kim wants to jump in, but I have to ask you one more question. Tell us a typical day. What will you eat in a typical day?
Basically, I do what I call an alkagizer, which is really taking a lot of all different kinds of greens and doing my own green drink is a big factor, along with eggs, and I'll even eat meat, try to get as sustainably raised meat as I can. It's really hard to find bacon. I've only found one source that has no sugar in it, because most of the bacon has that. So, I do have a wide variety of stuff. So salads, and I have actually cut out, as I said, I've cut out wheat. So I do some gluten-free, but the tricky part with gluten-free is a lot of times they add the sugar in, and sugar is a big sugar monster there that is a factor. So that gives a rough idea.
Well, thank you, Bob. I think Kim is just so excited to hear from you.
Bob, you're making me smile from ear to ear. I love to hear everything that you're doing. It sounds like you're doing a great job. And pointing out the sugar is a really good point. And I'm glad that you are aware, because we talk about salt being hidden in things, but they do the same thing with sugar. And our bodies love the taste of salt, sugar, and fat. So for an example, in yogurts, it may say low fat, because that was the trend. But what do they do to make us still eat it? Put sugar in it. So definitely being aware of that, it's very important. But I applaud you and everything you're doing. It sounds like you're doing a great, great job.
Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, great job, Bob. I'm glad you've found what works for you. I just want to remind people that there are a lot of great resources out there, too, to help you find what works best for you and your body. So if you can get a referral from your doctor to see a registered licensed dietitian, they're ones that can really figure out and hone in and look at food diaries with you. They're the ones that are able to prescribe different food diets and things like that. So if you're listening to Bob out there and thinking, okay, I need to make some change, check in with an expert, with a registered dietitian first, and then they can guide you on your way.
Also wanted to congratulate you, Bob. That's great. We always love to hear when people can bring down their blood pressure or cholesterol naturally by making those changes. And good point about the sugars. That's an excellent point. And now, as of a few years ago, added sugar are now on all food labels. So you can look at, sugar, whether it's natural sugar, but you can also see a line underneath that that says added sugar. And that's so important to check the added sugar, because naturally occurring sugar, it's probably not what's going to hurt you, and fruit and milk and things like that. But it's the added sugar that you got to watch out. So great point.
Thank you, Bob, for your call. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Jane and Frank Bragg of Bangor. Proud to support the independent journalism and new voices of Maine Public News.
As people around New England are finding lead and other contaminants in their drinking water, states are taking a stand.
Everyone has an equal opportunity to have lead-free drinking water within a time frame that is reasonable.
On Next from the New England News Collaborative, we'll discuss clean water issues in our region. Plus, as the Patriots go to the Super Bowl again, we'll revisit the history of the team.
For lots of Patriots fans, that once-in-a-lifetime thing has already happened.
Please join us.
Next is coming up today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio. And just a reminder for those of you who are fans of Down Memory Lane, this week's show will be available today starting at 2, both online at mainepublic.org and also on the Maine Public Classical Channel. You can hear Maine Public Classical all around the state on our HD channel and also on our 6 Classical Channel FM frequencies in Bangor, Waterville, Fryeburg, Portland, Millbridge MDI, and our newest 96.7 FM, Booth Bay, Brunswick. Friday evenings also bring us a full 7 hours of jazz on Maine Public Classical. More information about Maine Public Classical and how to hear it is at mainepublic.org.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, cardiovascular health. Joining us today, Brenda Vitale with the American Heart Association, Caitlin Foley with Ocean View at Falmouth Retirement Community, and Kimberly Martins with Turning Point Cardiac Rehab at Maine Medical Center. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Peter, who is calling from Cherryfield. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Mine is just a cautionary tale. I was my doctor's poster child up through 75, blood pressure of a 20-year-old, no meds, exercise, ate right, and I had a minor breathing that I wasn't paying much attention to, and I just asked my doc, and he said, oh, it can't be anything serious. Send me to the cardiologist, and boom, three stents for three blockages that came from nowhere. So my advice is, if you have the slightest symptom, check it out.
Mm, and Caitlin is nodding.
Yep. I'm so glad that you listened to your body, figured out, you know, I'm an exerciser, but I'm having a little bit of a breathing issue, brought it to your doctor's attention. So it just goes to show, you know, anytime that there is a symptom or something that doesn't feel right, get it checked out.
Thank you, Peter, for your call. And I'm so glad that they caught it. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Shirley in Union. Hi, Shirley. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say the lady that called with the cancer, who was looking for a program that her insurance would accept, the YMCAs have a wellness program for people with cancer that are absolutely wonderful. So she can do that, and it's absolutely free.
Shirley, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. I'm sure there are several people who would like to know that information. We have an email from Liza. A free one-year program is the National Diabetes Prevention Program, and it has two goals, 7% weight loss and 150 minutes of physical activity per week. So many people are pre-diabetic or diabetic. This can complicate a provider's ability to treat heart disease, which is the number one cause of death among diabetics. There is a lot of overlap, isn't there, Brenda?
There is. You're much more likely to have a heart attack or stroke if you have diabetes. That's very well documented. It's a highly modifiable risk factor. And like Shirley was saying, it's, you know, 150 minutes per week. That's 30 minutes five times a week. And you can break that up even into little 10-minute spurts of activity, walking. Another thing, you know, with sugary drink consumption, that's very directly linked to an increase in type 2 diabetes. And kids are developing it at a much earlier age, as early as high school. We're starting to see a big increase in type 2. So really getting out there and educating people about switching out water for, you know, any sugar-sweetened beverages out there.
The program that Liza mentioned also, she said a 7% weight reduction that goes along with the 5% weight reduction that was recommended for to bring down blood pressure. But the program through the National Diabetes Program, their leaders are highly trained. And they're trained by registered dietitians and working under the supervision of one as well. So if that's something that you're looking towards needing some guidance on that, you know that you're going through a qualified route, through a qualified program.
Kate, do you know if the National Diabetes Program is statewide? Are people throughout Maine able to access that?
I know it's available at a lot of different locations. So I would check out their website, the National Diabetes Association, and look at prevention programs. And I'm sure that there's something there.
All right. We'll go to Nama calling from Alfred. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. I am a retired registered nurse, and all my life I struggled with weight. And eventually I went into a vegan diet, which helped a great deal. But if you're vegan, you also have to take many supplements. So I do eat some eggs and yogurt and some little cheese. But my point is this. I eat the same every single day. It's a way of life. It's not a diet. If you call it a diet, you think of it as a temporary situation. For me, it's a way of life. So I eat the same every single day, but it's a very varied diet. Cereal with fruits in the morning, oatmeal, and then I have vegetables with beans and some dried fruits for dessert. And my last meal is fruits. And I stop eating at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So usually you say goodbye to my food when your program comes on. And I want to say that my Another important thing is to weigh yourself on a daily basis to make sure not to run away from your numbers. And also that I walk in the house. I walk a lot in when the weather is good, but I walk a lot in the house, back and forth for hours. I don't need to, and I listen to MPBN. And the other thing is the sugar. Sugar and processed food are drugs. They're just as addictive as alcohol, as drugs, and they kill you. So you have to look at everything, in bread, in anything, flour of the I don't touch, okay? Even my dog, when I buy him the treats, I buy it without sugar because a lot of the animal treats are full of sugar.
Nama, so, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad you listened to Maine Calling, though it makes me sad that Maine Calling is when you give up food for the day. I'm so glad you're a regular listener and for all these great tips. Kimberly.
Yeah, another caller making me smile from ear to ear. I love everything that you brought up, and most importantly, that it's not a diet and calling it a lifestyle. I'm in the business of going out of business, and I nicely say to our patients at the end of the program, please don't come back. And that is our job at Cardiac Rehab, is to make it a lifestyle, making it a priority to make it a lifestyle. Coming to Cardiac Rehab, you're not going to be cured. I wish I was that good at my job, but we haven't found that yet. But our job is to make sure that people actually adopt these small changes, whether it's exercise, diet, taking your medications, anything like that, and carrying it with you through the rest of your life and hopefully preventing another event.
Nama, thanks for your call. I'm going to try to squeeze in one or two more calls. Robin in Bodenham, welcome to Maine Calling. If you could be quick, that would be great.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. Two quick things. One is something to keep in mind for the future. I've noticed this in past programs that you say, doctor, doctor, doctor. I'm a nurse practitioner. Many of us serve as primary care providers and make these referrals to rehab, et cetera. I would like us to be included in your program.
Sure.
Number two is your guests earlier in the program stated that people should go to walk-in clinics or first care or urgent care if they're having concerning symptoms. I would caution against that, having been a nurse practitioner for 3 decades in the state, having worked in the ER and urgent care. They really belong in the emergency room. We absolutely cannot care for these patients thoroughly, as Amy said about her mom, who actually went to the ER. That's really the best place to be for a thorough cardiac workup. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, Robin, you are absolutely right. Nurse practitioners, PAs can definitely help prescribe and help take care of patients, and they are a fantastic resource and fantastic practitioners. So thank you for bringing that up. I think we say doctor as a blanket statement and know that so many of them also help, so thank you. First care and urgent care, I would only tell somebody to go to one of those if they were questioning, you know, this is a little something, I'm not sure. It definitely, if you are having chest pain, jaw pain, shoulder pain, terrible, awful nausea, things that are really coming up that you're saying, this needs to get checked out, go right to the ER and they will take care of you right away.
Robin, thank you for your call. Squeezing in one more, taking a chance here. Hi, Paula, if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Hi, my name is Dr. Paula Benner. I'm a veterinarian, but I understand the physiology of this disease quite well. And I wanted to recommend meditation and yoga, which will actively work against stress and is completely free. There's yoga on YouTube that you can follow at your home. And then also using stairs whenever they're available, and cleaning your own house by putting things away, going up and down stairs and moving around and not asking somebody else to come and bring you another cup of coffee, but to get up and get it yourself. Simple things like that are free and you'll feel better. It actually decreases my stress when I've put things away.
Thank you, Paula, for your tips. It does feel good to put things away, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I love that. It's making exercise happen. It does not need to be an expensive or fancy or time-consuming gym membership. Just make it happen with what you have.
All right. Well, Paula, you're the last call, and that's the last word. Thank you so much for all of you joining us today. The voice you just heard, Kimberly Martins, the senior clinical exercise physiologist at Turning Point Cardiac Rehab at Maine Medical Center. Also here, Caitlin Foley, a certified personal trainer and the fitness manager for Ocean View at Falmouth Retirement Community. And Brenda Vitale, the communications director for the American Heart Association. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Our theme music was composed by Mike Jandreau. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.